Fall is in the air, and that cooler weather calls for an update in your skincare. Moisturizing is key to keeping wrinkles at bay. That's why we need a skincare routine that's easy, fast, and gives us results. Plus, what if your products had thousands of five-star reviews, were natural and affordable? Well, say hello to Dime Beauty. Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Not sure where to start? I highly recommend the Work System. It's everything you need in one powerful package. Take out the guesswork with a proven routine that includes a gentle yet effective cleanser, a super skin toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers. See what everyone is raving about. From serum sets to the always sold-out retinol alternative TBT cream, you'll find your perfect skincare match. Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally 5 stars. Love your skin again. Go to DimeBeautyCO.com and unlock your discount. That's DimeBeautyCO.com. That's DimeBeautyCO.com.
You can say I'm full of bullshit, but don't forget that big ass mask.
Nobody wants this. Baby, everybody wants this.
Wait, you know I'm still coughing post-pneumonia, and I literally was like choking on a cough just then because I was laughing so hard. You guys, it's Andy's Girls. It's episode 600 whatever. And at the point in which you are listening to this, we're recording this Tuesday afternoon, I will be post-surgery in a new world, taking shit out of my tum or whatever. I'll have an idea of what I just experienced. I will hopefully be higher than I've ever been in my life. The hospital nurse called to like review the, I guess, day of information. And she was like going through stuff and like asking me questions. And she's like, there was something she was asking of like, are you in any pain? And I was like, yeah, this thing that's ruining my life. And she laughed. And I just thought like, I'm a step ahead. I'm a step ahead because I made the surgical nurse laugh.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer that in any situation like this, you have to find some sort of humor in it to get perspective and to get through it. I think that you can find humor in everything. So I'm glad that you made somebody laugh.
Thank
in
you.
This situation.
Thank you.
And I hope that all goes according to plan. We love you.
Thank you. Love you. Yeah. It's going to be okay.
It's going to be good.
Yeah. I also just ran
it. It needs to happen. You know?
It needs. That's the thing.
That's the thing. You're getting it. You're getting it taken care of.
100%. And I just watched Potomac and Giselle talking about the fact that like prevention could have helped her father, that he was diagnosed. And did she say 12 days later?
It was really quick. Yeah.
That he was. They discovered the brain tumor over CT and 12 days later. And you know what? It's just one of those moments of like, in no way comparing what her family has gone through to this, like fucking, I'm calling it carrot, like, cause it's short for Teddy Joe, carrot, melon, cat, mass, carrot for
short. Got it. Okay.
Cause I hate it and it's ruining my life, much like Teddy Joe. But just to like know how fortunate I am that this was found before other stuff could have happened is I'm really, really grateful. And it all started because I was joking about on the podcast, but I've had like extremely, extremely severe tummy stuff with like pooping.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. We're adults.
I don't mind talking about poop.
I mean, we should. Everybody poops.
Everybody poops.
It's the most, aside from the Bible, the second most famous book in the goddamn world. And so they thought it was like maybe appendicitis or bowel stuff or a change in medication or something. And never did I consider that it could be something like this. And I'm just so thankful that a CT was ordered and that it was found. And then I have, you know, we're so fortunate, not going down this path, but like, I'm just so thankful that I have health insurance. I'm thankful that, you know, as a freelancer, as a consultant, I'm so thankful for Obamacare, for the exchange. I would have been completely fucked years ago without that. And so it's just a little moment to be like, listen, like the next several days and weeks are going to be seemingly very difficult,
but it's worth it in the long run.
100%. 100%.
And it could always be worse. You know what I mean?
It could be so much worse. So, yeah. Knock on
everything. Totally.
Generotic.
No, but it's like, you know, it's you have to have perspective when something hits you like this and you'll get through it. You know, you have a support system around you. And
And we're on that text thread, so I'm going to need you to engage me.
We're going
to
do a fist bump. We're doing a fist bump.
I'm going to need you to engage me with gossip every minute of the day that I am conscious.
Okay.
So you need to figure some stuff out. I know with your podcast, you have Bravo Lebs like no other crazy guests. So I'm going to need you to squeeze that fucking juice, my friend.
The juice is worth the squeeze, bitch. Come on.
So can I ask you a question? We have so many franchises on air right now. We have Potomac.
Mm-hmm.
We have Orange County.
Mm-hmm.
We have Salt Lake City.
Mm-hmm.
We have another one that I just forgot about. New York.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. I always forget about her. I always forget about New York.
Think, huh?
I know. Which is the show that currently, of Housewives, that currently really truly has your heart?
Salt Lake.
Really?
I think Salt Lake is the current it show. I think it's the water cooler show. It's the show that most people in my life watch. I think it's firing on all cylinders. I think it's like in its supreme era, its imperial phase. Like I just think it's like so, it's like, it's to me, everything's working on it. So that's the one I think is like, I think about the most. But Potomac is right there with it in terms of like, it has my heart and I just want that show to succeed so badly. And I'm getting such promising good vibes from this season so far. Like I'm the second episode of the season. I like it finished and I was like, oh my God, they're back. Like they're on the right track again. It's not perfect. It's not the best show on TV, but like I was laughing a lot. Mm-hmm. People were getting kicked out of parties. Karen and Giselle are feuding and also kikiing and also feuding and also laughing. Like it's back and forth, which is, I think they're the best frenemy duo in the history of Housewives. Mm-hmm. I love Potomac and last season was so hard to watch. Like literally like, practically speaking, it was hard to watch. It wasn't fun to watch, but also like it hurt watching it because it was in such bad shape. And I think that they've really course corrected in a way that I'm actually really impressed by. So those are the two for me.
Giselle as a sympathetic figure. When was the last time I felt bad for Giselle?
Somebody said that like Giselle sort of back to like seasons one and two Giselle. And like, that's so accurate. And like, I think it's probably a combo of a lot of things. You know, I think it was her dad dying definitely had a huge impact on her. I think Robin being taken out of the equation definitely had a big impact on her and kind of knowing that she had to kind of have Ashley and have Karen in her corner, especially. I think that she's kind of one of the housewives who's like acts as somewhat of a producer and she like probably, you know, stood outside of the show and was like, fuck, like we're not in good shape. I have to like get my shit together. I think it's all of the above with Giselle because I think that she's a huge pro. So yeah, I agree. Like, and you're sympathizing with her and I'm kind of on her side with the Karen party feud, you know, it's like, I love it.
Sending that text was wild. Nuts.
Wild. Wild.
It's so insensitive. And like, listen, dime a dozen, you can get whatever award makes your heart go pitter patter. But if you Karen has like a lifetime achievement award, God bless, for like Mother's Day or whatever. I don't even know. Giselle was putting on an event for her company, which I truly still don't understand, that has gone from athleisure into wellness.
It went from like ready to wear like
right
like high fashion imitations to a more like athleisure apparel, which I think is them entering the wellness space.
Okay, because when Ashley, sort of I think it was Ashley who mentioned wellness, yeah. I was like, what's happening?
I'm glad they at least acknowledged the pivot. That's the word they use. I'm glad that they acknowledged that. But I agree. And it looked like it had obviously the special meeting about with the dad and it had the tumor association or whatever the name of that organization was. And it also looked like a big event. Like that was a big production and she was expecting the entire cast to be there before Karen threw a wrench in her plan. So, you know.
I mean, the fact that everyone knew that it was related to Giselle's dad, I thought. It's like unconscionable to pretend that this is a competition. I really thought I get it. And like, maybe it's some sort of like entertainment, whatever from production, but no, just say you can't go and go to Giselle's and actually support her. If it was anything else, if it was just for her company, I would care less,
mm-hmm.
but it really is for her father and it's meaningful to her.
Yeah. I was surprised about how many people decided to go to Karen's first.
Wasn't it everybody but Vivian?
Yeah. And Jacqueline. And obviously Ashley. I was surprised that everybody else went to that first. And also, the events were both like 6 to 9, I think. Mm. And like, so they all like got together at 7. I was like, and it was probably a production call time thing to make it messy. But like, there was a whole hour. They could have started at Giselle's event. You know what I mean? They could have gone for an hour to that and then gone to see Karen get her award if that really meant a lot to them. But instead, they like started an hour late, went to Karen's event, left before she got the award, showed up 5 minutes after the sort of deadline to get into Giselle's. It was not well planned in terms of trying to hit both in one night.
Also, no disrespect, but we as a collective and certainly as a cast supported Karen for her birthday. So connecting this somehow to like her DUI would assume be only negative. Like, why do we need to go? How is that more important than Giselle's event? If you want to support, Karen's version of support is...
Well, as she said, she wants to know who the bitches are that are with her. They're Karen's soldiers and who is going to go against her from the first episode. That's what she said to the brunch table, which I think I loved that quote. I thought it was hilarious. Classic Karen. But she wants unanimous support. She wants no gray area. She wants black and white. She wants her soldiers. And that's Karen Huger in a nutshell.
She wants her soldiers, but she doesn't want anyone to know about the location of the battlefield. Because...
Okay, metaphor.
No, but like for real, because wasn't it Jacqueline who... She's saying Jacqueline is not a good friend. She's now my arch nemesis or on pause or whatever. But wasn't Jacqueline's main point like, I don't want to judge you. Let's play this out and see what happens in court. Karen is now saying, if you're interested in actual information, you're not on my side. No, what does that tell you about being on Karen's side?
No, I don't like how Karen's handling this whole DUI thing. I think it's like, I did see somebody like dug up some papers on Twitter or something that are related to it, actually is still in like arbitration, if that's the right word, because she did
arbitration
or whatever.
What is the word?
I don't know what the word is. I'm not a lawyer.
Maybe negotiation.
That's not the word she's been using. It's like an actual like legal thing that
I don't think she'd be arbitrating.
Whatever it is. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Completely doesn't matter. But I guess like part of it is like she didn't take a breathalyzer on the scene, I think. And so I think that allows her to sort of contest what happened. I'm pretty sure that's sort of the basis of this. So like it actually is something that is unresolved. So there is some like credence in her not like getting too far deep into the details of what happened on camera. But that doesn't mean that like you can't say something or like have a party line to go with. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's the difference in Shannon's thing. I think Shannon did have a breathalyzer on the scene, and she
also drove into a house. Yeah.
Karen drove into a tree.
True.
I think the difference is that like it was sort of proven on the scene that Shannon was above the legal limit. I'm pretty sure. And so that's, I think that there's going to be a lot of comparison between these two situations because Shannon's been such an open book about it. Mm-hmm. But I think that there was nothing for her to contest in terms of like the DUI of it all. And I think Karen is contesting part of it or something. So there is a difference and a distinction between the two situations. But it's going to be hard because she is shutting it down. She's not engaging. And Shannon really did engage with everything. And so it's going to look bad for Karen. It's going to look extra bad in that way, I think, because there's a direct point of comparison on another franchise.
Well, I also think, I mean, Shannon, one could argue, I'm sure both felt guilty, but also took responsibility, which I'm sure the judge, however that negotiation work, looked at her and was like, okay, this person is taking responsibility. Right. And you know, she has that lawyer who can like make things happen. With Karen, I just have to kind of wonder her initial statement and her presentation of things of like, remember to buckle your seatbelt. I don't have the feeling that this is only about figuring out her next steps legally. I think this is how Karen lives her life, like in a state of denial.
Yeah, we've seen it, like the press conference about the taxes.
Right.
It's classic Karen, and like I think it's just classic her. And like I really love Karen as somebody to watch on my TV, and I think that she's just like extremely entertaining. And so it's almost like camp at this point that like this is how she is dealing with this whole situation. That's how I sort of look at it.
Yeah. I mean, ideally, she says drinking and driving is bad. And I know that,
of course,
at least
I'm not saying she's handling it correctly. Right. I just like she's handling it in the way that
you
I
can't
would,
take her.
I would expect Karen to handle it in this way.
You can't take her seriously. And that's a disservice to her, but that's her choice.
Well, she's always been this way, you know, and maybe it's not for everybody, but it's not a laughing matter getting a DUI and like what she could have, who she could have endangered. But like, you know, it's Karen is like an archetype of like, she's a character, you know, and this is like in line with the character that she's built up over the past 8 years.
Yeah. I just think it's unfortunate that she feels like a caricature. Like, yeah. I don't, but that's her choice. That's literally
that's
her
how
choice.
That's how she's always approached the show.
Truly.
Like this is not new behavior from Karen.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
And sometimes there's like a cost of this person who seems kind of like outside of the universe of like, we love the fact that they're outside of the universe, but there can be a crash landing to that.
Yeah, for sure.
That actually reminds me of something I talked about on a recent episode about New York, because I just kind of hypothesized, was just kind of thinking out loud, what do I feel like New York is missing? And I think not necessarily a Karen character, because one is plenty for us, but just the idea of really, really outside personalities. Mm-hmm. To me, it kind of feels like New York went in a different direction of like, we want really, really grounded people. And I think that's what I kind of miss.
Yeah. I think that's a really good point. I've been saying recently that I think it's missing, that they need like a true reality star injected, like somebody who can really mix it up and get shit popping. And I think that like, it's a similar idea, which is like putting somebody a little more quirky and somebody who's like, what do you do with this person kind of character? Like, they're all on the same page too much, you know, like they all have a key to the same group vault, and they all like are down to keep those secrets in the vault. And that's like not fun, you know, like there needs to be an X factor. And I think Jenna sometimes can be that X factor because she is a really unique person and like has a really, I think, like original perspective on a lot of things. And she's not a classic housewife, but ultimately, like when it comes down to it, they're all still kind of on the same page with Jenna, and Jenna's on that same page as well. So I agree. Like somebody, they have to throw some atomic bomb in there and just like, I don't know. It's like, it's frustrating.
Do you think that the cast would receive that well, or would they just try to alienate the person who might come in and
maybe
be great
they
TV?
Would. Maybe they would. I mean, ideally that this person they could bring in is like a friend of one of theirs. You know what I mean? So it's like you have to imagine that like somebody like Brynn has like some kind of kooky friend or something like that who like would want to be on TV and, you know, like mix it up. Mm. There has to be somebody connected to them, so it's not like super random and like they wouldn't have an ally. I'd imagine that also if they get, I mean, for a next season, like the cast wouldn't remain the exact same. Like I'd be shocked if like they, if every single, we're early in this season, obviously, and we'll see what happens, but they need to change a little bit of the cast. They have to shift it. Like it's pretty stagnant to me. So yeah, hopefully there's an opening.
Do you have OG in New York at all when you're like in your head, when you're watching New York, or is it a totally different
universe? I really feel like I've successfully compartmentalized, because to me it's a different show, and that's something that I talked about with Evan Ross Katz on a recent podcast episode of mine, which is like you're doing yourself a disservice by comparing it, because it's just never going to live up to that, and it's a completely different show. And I think that they did themselves a disservice by actually not, like, I don't know how what they would have named it or whatever, but like calling it season 14 of Real Housewives of New York actually like really hurt them. I really think that, like, in my mind, we're in season 2 of the reboot. And again, I don't know what the actual name of that would have been. That's another brainstorming session for another day. But like, just by calling it season 14 and 15, it feels like it should be a continuation of something. And it, to me, was a complete new restart. So no, I don't think about OG New York, because I think that was a show that came to an end.
I totally agree. And it makes
me sad.
It makes me sad, but also you never know what the future will bring.
Totally. I mean, I think it's like there's no way that Bravo doesn't hear the constant complaining from fans of like, bring our women back, you know? And like, I just don't know if like putting them on one-off spinoffs of like Crappy Lake and Love Hotel and whatever else, I don't know if that's going to be enough. Like, I don't know if we want to see them all together.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the girls trip they went on like was kind of like it had its moments, but it wasn't the best season of that show. But like there has to be something they can figure out at some point in the future, because I don't think this noise is going to go away.
Mm.
You know, I just don't think it will. Like there's just something that I think that OG Roni has always been something that's been so beloved by the Bravo fan base. But I think because people feel so fucked over about how the whole thing happened and played out, we never got Roni Legacy as a show. It's kind of an unchecked box. It's kind of an unfulfilled want. And it's going to sit there. You know, I think that added fuel to the love for these women. And to like watch Luann thriving out in the world and to watch Ramona dating this man down in Palm Beach or whatever. And like Sonia is at random hotels all over the country.
Oh,
and
Sonia.
Dorinda's like, I don't know. Dorinda still feels like really booked and busy to me.
Yeah.
Like Berkshire's to the city and back. Mm-hmm. The women are doing shit, you know, and. Yeah, I don't know if that'll ever go away. But I think that like comparing it to the reboot is you're never going to like the reboot at all if that's what you're doing, you know, in your head.
I started taking Hormone Harmony because for me, that time of the month feels like it became the entire month, dealing with cravings, bloating, not feeling like myself. Well, now it's easier to manage PMS and menopause with Hormone Harmony. My number one, supporting hormonal balance and regulation. Hormone Harmony also helps relieve symptoms of menopause, improves sleep quality, relieves hot flashes and mood swings. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It is zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews, and there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code ANDYSCROLLS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code ANDYSCROLLS for 15% off today. As AGs know, I am spiritually mid-20s plus. And you know who else is? My dear, close, personal best friend and also deity, Jennifer Lopez. J-Lo is actually the reason that Google launched Google Images, because of that infamous Versace dress. And she's still, 20 years later, more sought after than ever before. With skin like hers, it's not a surprise. Love don't cost it a thing, but I don't want to continue to wait for tonight. Whoa. And thanks to JLo Beauty, we can glow right along with her. Get that JLo glow for yourself with JLo Beauty's Deluxe Kit, the one-and-done skincare solution clinically proven to tighten and lift for instant, long-lasting results. And much like my dear best friend, Jen, I absolutely agree. My personal favorite is JLo's Limitless Glow face mask. It is so soothing. Easy to apply, cleansed my skin, had the mask on, and truly was having a spa night at home. So if you're tired of trying to crack your own skincare code, try JLo Beauty for 60 days. If you're not completely satisfied, just return the bottles, even if empty, and get your money back. Want that JLo glow? Head to jlobeauty.com/AndyScrolls and get a special gift of 4 free masks for listeners of Andy Scrolls. Head to jlobeauty.com/AndyScrolls for 4 free masks and free shipping today. That's jlobeauty.com/AndyScrolls. I never knew you could treat depression symptoms from your phone, but with this prescription app called Rejoin, it's possible. It's for adults age 22 and up with major depressive disorder who want to add to their antidepressant medication. And get this, it's the first and only prescription app authorized by the FDA to treat depression symptoms. Rejoin does not replace your current medication. Be sure to use as directed by your healthcare provider. And if your depression symptoms worsen, seek help immediately. Get started today by talking to your healthcare provider or visiting meetrejoin.com. That's meetrejoin.com. I feel like they wouldn't allow this, and I understand why, especially because the girls' trip panels were extraordinarily chaotic last year, but yeah. It would be nice to have a reboot OG New York panel at BravoCon. I don't know who would participate. I truly don't understand. Like, this isn't even a criticism, but like, I don't really know what Jill's goals are with Bravo at this point, because she gives such crossed kind of feelings.
I feel like I saw a quote recently where she was sort of like, I'm done with Bravo. I feel like that was like on page 6 relatively recently. And like, she screwed herself over by taking the negotiations of salary public. She screwed the entire show over. She screwed herself over. So yeah, that's a shame, but that's a mess of her own making.
I don't know that she was the one to say it. I think it was a production leak that was like intended to be like, if you're upset that this isn't happening, blame Jill.
Well, she didn't deserve favorite nations in that situation, in my opinion. And so whatever happened there, I think that she was to blame. Mm-hmm. She was the holdout, you know, and then look what happened.
It is that impossible situation, because it's like, these women certainly deserve to be paid more than they are. And there's always this like wink, wink of, you'll get X salary, but you're going to be able to monetize this. Like,
right.
Whatever company you're in, whatever, whatever. And it's just kind of.
But it's also like Luann, Sonia, and Dorinda, who had been off the show for a season, but like they had been on the show for over a decade, mm-hmm. and you build up a salary, and I don't think they would have been paid what that salary was for a Roni Legacy season. It probably would have been shorter. You know, they wouldn't have been able to, the budget wouldn't have been there. But like, I don't know why, in my mind, I don't know why Jill would have like gotten paid the same as people who had been on TV for a decade. She had not been on TV since 2009 or whatever it was, you know?
Yeah.
So, shitty situation, absolutely. But I definitely find myself like watching the Roni reboot and like wanting it to succeed. Absolutely. Like, I never want any Housewives to like fail. Like, I'm not in it for that. We're not in it for that. Like, I would love to have an amazing New York show again, but the show is just not amazing. Like, I think objectively speaking, like there are things to like about it. It's just the formula is not right yet. It's just not there yet.
Could it be amazing with this cast, or is that just genuinely sort of impossible?
I don't know if the cast collectively, I think individually there are some that could really work. I think collectively there's something missing. There's an ingredient missing, and they're not being pushed. And I'm sorry, like, you can't build up a fan base of a show if it feels like you're keeping stuff from us, or you're not in it fully, or you're kind of like, oh, you all have like an alliance to like not mm-hmm. go there. All the drama is like, you know, bad faith reads of a game of telephone that like things are passed along incorrectly and interpreted wrong. Mm-hmm. That's all the drama is. There's nothing like real happening. You know, there's nothing real. Like, it's like, that's why I'm honestly confused by the drama, because it's like, okay, so Bryn repeated what about who, and she misinterpreted that. And then Aaron went in an interview and Bryn thought she said this one thing, but she actually didn't say that. And then Sai texted who, what? Like, it's just, that's all it is. That's all it is. Like, that's not compelling drama.
It's a season of telephone.
Yeah, and that's not fun.
Yeah.
Like, to me, one of the most interesting things on this whole season has been the Abe and Aaron stuff. And like, that's because that's like genuine relationship stuff that's happening, and they're talking about it. Like, they're kind of talking around some of it, but like, we had a full conversation about a genuine hurdle on their marriage, you know, and like, nobody else is really doing that.
Okay, so you just had Abe on your pod.
I did. I just recorded, so it's not out.
Time this comes out, so people should listen to it ASAP. What did you learn from that? Like, what was the new information, if there was any, that he presented to sort of attempt to explain?
He like owned it. He was like, I fucked up. Like, I basically, they had that handbag business that went for a couple years, like before the show, like when their kids were like just being born. Basically, they put all their money into this business. It didn't work out after like several years, and they had to both, she went back into real estate, he went back into law. Mm-hmm. So like, they kind of had to restart their careers and like make money again and build up their money. He said they both don't have trust funds. It's like, they're not like living off their parents. Like, he acknowledged like, we both grew up well off in the city. Like, we grew up in Manhattan, but like, we're not trust fund babies. Like, we are making our own money. And he basically was like, we had a lot of debt from the company that we took all the, you know, put all the money into. And at the same time, we were having babies and sending them to school and getting more bills and more bills. And he was like, I fucked up by not communicating that to Aaron. But he basically said, obviously one was pride. He didn't want to like acknowledge the fact with her that like he maybe was a little bit in over his head. And the other was that he just thought he could figure it out and like it would be okay. And so got the Bitcoin thing, like he basically went into that and like he wanted that to cover this like one big outstanding debt that they had from that company. Mm-hmm. And didn't tell her. And he like was like, I completely regret that. I wish I had told her, because she would have been like, no, don't use the Bitcoin money. Use my own money to cover this debt because the Bitcoin's going to accrue right. in more value. And he was like, I regret selling it. And I also regret not telling her. So like he didn't really make excuses for himself. He just wanted to give more detail to what actually happened, which is like kind of a complicated situation that obviously on Housewives are not going to include like a 10-minute conversation about like the depths of their finances mm-hmm. and like what bills they had.
I'd love it.
No, I would love it. But like, you know, it's an ensemble show. And so, yeah, I actually thought that he presented it like in a way that I felt was really authentic to me. And he basically was just like, yeah, I'm glad. I want to be doing this interview just to give color and give context and give detail to what happened. Because the show does inherently flatten a situation like that. And he said that like they lost some trust she lost some trust in him, but they're rebuilding that. And like the idea that like just that is like enough to like implode their marriage is like, he was like laughing at that because that's what some fans are being like, oh my God, their marriage is in trouble, like blah, 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 blah. And then he was like, no, like it was a bad decision on my part, but I owned up to it to her. They'd talked about it before the show started filming. She had known about it. And he said that is why he said that the mushroom thing is connect, like her sort of, you know how she sort of like was kind of curt in that moment about the mushroom thing. That, he said, was basically because she was already really mad at him about the Bitcoin thing.
Of course.
Yeah, but like, wasn't actually mad about the mushroom thing. Of she course. Was, yeah, yeah. So, yeah. So I thought it was really interesting to hear from him on that perspective. And like, I think preparing for the interview, I was like, it's actually so weird to be a house husband because it's like you're on the show. You're not really contracted most of the time. You're usually, I don't think, getting paid. I don't know for sure on who gets paid or what, but like
I think New Jersey guys.
But I think generally, yeah. like they're not really paid for this.
Yeah.
They don't get to really share their perspective on things for the most part. They're kind of, you know, at the whims of the production about their wives who are actually on the cast. So I was like, damn, like, it's actually kind of fun to interview the husbands because like they can say whatever they want. And also like they have a lot to say because a lot gets cut out of them from the shows. So I liked talking to him. I really did.
So how did he talk at all about whether or not his financial language with Aaron has changed? Like what did he learn specifically about this that has had an impact in their relationship? Like he sounds like from what he said on the episode, you know, he was feeling a lot of pressure of delivering a certain kind of lifestyle for her.
Yeah.
Are they having, did he talk at all about whether or not they're having honest conversations about like, what does their current debt look like? How much are they actually bringing in? Like, did he share documents with her I know that if he's laughing this off, whatever, but like,
no, he's not, he wasn't laughing it off. He
was just kind of like, I can't believe that people are assuming.
No, he was laughing off the insinuation that like, just because our marriage goes through a hurdle like this means that it's going to be
game
like,
over.
Yeah, exactly. Like they've been together for like 14 years or something. And like, they're not going to break up because he made the wrong decision in terms of what he was telling his wife. And he basically it sounds like his learning is really communication based and like not, and just being open and having that conversation early. He was like, it's a weight lifted off me. Like I was carrying this around with me because I obviously felt really bad about it and knew that I should have been telling her, but I didn't. And, you know, and then he also got into a lot of like, you know, there's so many couples both like on shows like this, but also just in general, like in this like Instagram reality TV culture that we live in, that like you just want to act like every relationship is perfect and not acknowledge like some of these tougher things. And I was like, honestly, like on a show like Housewives, like I feel like financial situations like this usually come up sort of like out of the control of the person. It's like somebody heard about XYZ, or like they were sued for something, mm-hmm. for a debt, or, you know,
arrested.
Yeah. Or like it's usually like against their will, basically. Mm-hmm. And so I actually think that, you know, they clearly made a decision to like bring this up on camera together and like have that conversation. And like, if you really take a step back from that, that's kind of cool and brave of them, I think, to like have this conversation about money on a show that's built around being aspirational and having your shit figured out, like in terms of that. Like that's part of these shows. And like so many people would never acknowledge that, continue to build a house of cards, mm-hmm. and then it would tumble down in a season or two. So I think it's kind of cool that they brought it up and had that conversation.
So did he mention at all how their relationship has changed when it comes to talking about finances?
I think it just sounds like they're more communicative about it. It sounds like it.
Okay.
They have like, I mean, they're both still like working in, mm-hmm. real estate and law. They have this mezcal brand that seems to be doing well. And he was like, you know, for this brand that we started together, like, I realized like, that's not my strong suit. I hired a CFO. He was like, we learned from the fashion thing, like starting a fashion business without any experience in the fashion world. If we want to start an alcohol brand, let's bring in people who have alcohol experience, which seems, mm-hmm. I think sounds like obviously a no brainer from the outside. But I think he probably just thought he could do it all himself. And he definitely like had a slice of humble pie, I think, through this whole thing. And it was like, that's not necessarily what I'm good at. But I don't know like the intricacies of like what they talk about in terms of their finances now, but it just sounds like he's more open with her and like learned his lesson from that perspective and acknowledged that he lost some of her trust in that whole situation.
You know, what's wild is in just thinking about this, they're on their second season.
Yeah.
And we have heard more specifics about debt, how he sort of bungled how to handle this, her reaction, how it's impacting their marriage, some passive aggressive stuff. Mm-hmm. More about that than we have PK and Dorit over how many years?
That's true.
How many years? We still haven't had a single conversation about it.
Yeah, there's so many questions about them. And it's like, it's something that's like kind of, you can't touch it. You know, maybe in the divorce stuff this season, we'll get some interesting conversations about that. And it's also, I also was like, damn, like Aaron and Abe really on their cast, they've been the most open about their relationship. They've been the most kind of forthcoming with, I mean, last season they had some stuff, I think that I can't really remember exactly what happened, but like he feels kind of part of the show in a way that like, I mean, Jenna doesn't even bring her partner on the show. You know,
her partner doesn't want to be on it. Yeah. But she brought her future mother-in-law, which I know is sort of cool.
Great. She looked like a fun woman, but like, I'd rather see her actual partner. You know, I feel like Jessel and Pavit, they had some stuff last season that felt kind of real, but like, you know?
Now it's kind of like...
Yeah, now it's a little put on. Sai, I can't even picture her husband. I feel like he had like one scene last season.
I forgot his name.
Don't know.
Yeah.
Uba hit her boyfriend from the show. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give some credit to them. I know the bar's kind of low on Roni right now, but like, at least they're giving us some stuff to talk about and work with. So
it is also damned if you do, damned if you don't, because
totally
now that they are actually sharing some, which listen, is some the criticism deserved? I think 1,000%.
And I think that he knows that.
Right. And I also think when it comes to trust, so often we saw it. I mean, I was one of the people trying to figure out what the fuck happened when we were like seeing the preview.
Right.
Like what did, because I was like, I don't think it's an affair. It didn't feel like something that was like physical or sexual, but I was like, something happened and he like misled her, or there was like a trust situation, but I couldn't figure it out. Never in the entirety of my life did the word Bitcoin enter.
Right.
So
no,
like when she started
not.
To say Bitcoin, I was like, and
you want to laugh at the Bitcoin thing, but then when she keeps talking, you're like, oh fuck.
No, it's super serious. But when she said the word Bitcoin, yeah. I was like, okay, like, I just need to take one second because it was so specific,
yeah.
and I'm so outside of that universe that I was like, I just need to acclimate to what this is. But also, it's a huge, what he did, which included, we don't know how much money, but I'm guessing several hundreds of thousands of dollars, is a huge misuse of trust, mismanagement of their money that does tie into, when we talk about a house of cards, it's like, how are you guys speaking to each other about money? Should be exactly as you said, he realized I shouldn't be the CFO.
Yeah.
Like he's making changes in his life, but also I don't want to discount what it is that he actually did. And the hope is that he has changed his behavior. And it is also kind of fascinating that, like, this, God forbid, this is like the biggest thing on this season, then there's going to be more of a conversation. But right. like, you know, he doesn't, house husbands don't have a voice mm-hmm. on the show because to a certain extent, they shouldn't have a voice on the show.
It's not their story. No.
But there's a yeah. you know, there's a drawback to that.
I know. It's yeah. I think. What did I say? I asked him if like we're going to see more of this or something. I think that he said that sort of like an exclamation point or like a period on it or something. So.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know Which if it's gonna, I don't know if it's going to be something throughout the season, because it also sounds like something that she had learned prior to filming starting, and it was sort of lingering for them, and that's why they brought it up. And he also was like, I was like, why did, I forget exactly what I asked, mm-hmm. but he basically said, I came on the show to put my life out there. Like, I want to be real. Like, he kept bringing up this idea of like the perfect life and like not having any sort of issues. But he has the right approach to being on the show. And sometimes it kind of feels like Aaron sometimes doesn't feel as much that way, to sort of be fully open. But his perspective is to be fully open on the show. So, and I don't think enough people on the show have that perspective. So I thought that was also kind of notable. Yeah. Anyway, it was a good conversation.
I weigh that against what we're seeing in Orange County right now. Mm-hmm. And there is, you know, listen, I'm not going to give anybody a fucking gold star for participating if I hate them. So I don't really know what there is to say about Johnny J. But certainly his approach to this has been somewhat fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
Since he is a guy who, as we know, because he's said this so many times through people.com, that he's super private.
He's a very private person.
And he
Sarah.
Doesn't want the attention. Yeah. And he's a good person because he's suing his ex-girlfriend to prove how good he is.
Yeah, and that's why he's talking about it with Us Weekly on a red carpet for a reality stars party. So that's really what a private person does, who doesn't like the limelight. It doesn't want their name out there.
Yeah, he's making sure to attend the press line and a step and repeat.
Stay out of women's business, honestly.
You know what? This fucking guy, I really don't know how to even digest all of this at this point.
Same.
Because he's flopped so hard, mm-hmm. and he and Lexi are in such a state of denial about this that I'm like, it's hard for me to listen to him at all because I just find his reality impossible. It just doesn't exist. It's impossible to process. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't make sense.
They're just like doubling, tripling, quadrupling down on everything.
Yes.
And it's like, it just kind of leaves you speechless a little bit, I guess. Like, you would just think that maybe at least her, if she like wants to like not be the most hated person in the Housewives universe outside of her fiance, like, don't you want to curry some favor back with the viewership to like, because in that post that she made like a week or two ago,
September 21st, I'm ill for knowing this.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm checking on you. She kept referencing as her career, you know. Like,
oh, just different post. Sorry.
I'm talking about that post where she was like,
God is on the throne.
The truth is going to be out there. Yes, I'm going to take to Instagram after every episode. Mm-hmm. But she kept referring it to her as referring to the show as her career. And it's like, okay, well, right now it's just, you know, you got your job back, you know, you were demoted and you got your job back for a season. It's not guaranteed to be more of a career if you don't come back, if you're not. So doesn't she, I'm just like, she's playing it wrong. That's basically what I'm getting at. Like, don't you want some people to feel badly for you? Don't you want some people to like see your side somehow? But she just like is so mishandling the whole thing and just like, ah. I don't know. Did you notice? Did you watch when Shannon was on Watch What Happens Live?
Yes, I did watch.
I'm so curious how you interpreted when Andy asked her to name, to describe the reunion in three words. And her last word was, she like waited a lot. She said two words, whatever. Mm. And then she was like, okay, fine, I'll say it. Surprising. And to me, that meant that like, she made up with somebody or something was resolved in a way that she wasn't really wanting it to be resolved, or like, I was trying to figure out what she meant by that. It sort of felt like she was like, oh, fine, it was surprising, because like maybe her and Tamara had a breakthrough, or maybe her and I don't think her and Lexi had a breakthrough, but like, you know what I mean? She didn't want to say surprising. And I think that if she made up with anybody,
yeah,
that would surprise her.
So I don't know what the surprising aspect of it could be. Andy said right after the reunion that like the thing that was, I mean, to borrow the word, maybe surprising was how calm aspects of the reunion, like that they were really genuinely able to talk it out in a way that I think is a huge relief, because then he's like, the rest of the season is fucking nuts. So there is something incredible about talking it out. But then he said the exception to that is when Alexis was a part of the reunion.
That's what makes me think that maybe Shannon and Tamara had a breakthrough.
I feel like Tamara is acting like such a dick, though, still on social.
Yeah. But not from the perspective of them having the group hug at the reunion again.
Oh, okay.
I just think maybe they got some confession or something out of Shannon, because it just, the way that she said surprising to me felt like it was like so almost like, I'll admit it. Something was surprising about it. And she wouldn't just say that in the way that she said it if it was like just because it was calm, in my opinion.
I just don't know what she could give up that would be enough for Tamara, because I think Tamara's also looking for cover to mask or have, not even seek forgiveness, but like absolution or agreement that she didn't go too far. And if she did, it was just because she was upset. Like, I'm not in control of my temper. Shannon's to blame. I don't know what Shannon could do, because I also feel like she's already acknowledged that she's a little bit of an energy vampire. So I don't know. I don't know what else Shannon could say.
Maybe it's not Shannon making a concession. Maybe it's Tamara behaving in a way that was unexpected in a positive way. Like maybe Tamara calls out Alexis. Maybe she disagrees with something that Alexis did and defends Shannon against Alexis or something. Like, who knows? But like, that could have happened. I don't know.
I would like for it to, because that would be interesting. I'm just not seeing. I just really have no true faith. I just really, truly don't have faith that Tamara can get to that point, because I think she is so wrapped up. She's tightly wound right now in defending her behavior and saying that anyone who disagrees with her is a part of some sort of online mobile conspiracy. Like, if she's saying that people who are telling her you're doing too much are paid bot, troll, farmer, whatever the fuck, I don't really feel like she's in a position where she would even allow herself to give an inch.
Maybe. I just think that Tamara, she's taken things too far this season. I feel like we've talked about that a lot across this
ecosystem. World. Yeah.
100%. But I have this like glimmer of faith in her as a pro housewife. That like, she knows that coming into reunion, you have to give up something. That's how you move forward. That's how you maintain your job. That's how things get wrapped up in a season. That's kind of what has to happen in some way, at some level, whether that's her or somebody else, I don't know. But like, maybe I'm going to be made to be a fool and they're having faith in her to offer some sort of an apology for something at the reunion is ill-fated. But I hope that happens. And she's not always the most self-aware person, but she makes a living in another way off of like studying these shows, both from the inside and the outside perspective of it with two T's. So she has to know that, you know, maybe she's too stubborn or prideful to offer that, but I hope that she's not.
Fall is in the air, and that cooler weather calls for an update in your skincare. Moisturizing is key to keeping wrinkles at bay. That's why we need a skincare routine that's easy, fast, and gives us results. Plus, what if your products had thousands of five-star reviews? Were natural and affordable? Well, say hello to Dime Beauty. Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Not sure where to start? I highly recommend the Work System. It's everything you need in one powerful package. Take out the guesswork with a proven routine that includes a gentle yet effective cleanser, a super skin toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers. See what everyone is raving about, from serum sets to the always sold out retinol alternative TBT cream, you'll find your perfect skincare match. Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally 5 stars. Love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com. That's dimebeautyco.com.
I really hate giving this comparison, mostly because so many other people are at the same time. So I'm like, am I part of an echo or what? But I mean, if a lot of people are on the right side, or A side, I don't know at what point we're going to see Tamara fully Rinna, but it feels like she's been closer
she's
to that this
line.
Season yeah. than she ever has. And at that point, Rinna was completely physically incapable
You're of right.
humbling herself. And the worst case situation for Tamara would be not being able to take even an ounce of direction or just seeing the temperature in the room.
Yeah.
Because I think right now she's looking at any kind of, I think, entirely valid critique as an attack against her and some sort of strategic move.
Right.
And she doesn't want to lose. But if she realized that she's still not going to win, we could get somewhere. I just don't know that she has the capacity for
that's it. That's a good point. Yeah, totally. It's also, I think it's just also crazy because it's like, she's been only back for 2 seasons.
Isn't that wild? You know, someone like said that to me today.
That's the other thing. It's like, it was such a quick trajectory yes. to this point where it's like, Rinna took 6 or 7 seasons to get to that point, you know? And obviously Tamara wasn't gone for that long from the show, but it's just kind of crazy that she would lose perspective that quickly on what it takes to like stay on the show and maintain some level of like support from the audience at large.
100%. And I also feel like there's 2 ways to look at it. One is look how fucking important Tamara is to the show because, I mean, she's all many of us are talking about.
I very much believe they need her.
Not in a good way. I mean, there's no such thing as bad press is not accurate.
Not
but
entirely
like,
accurate, no.
But for Housewives, being seen as like the villain is not a bad way of doing business. No. The flip side of it, though, is if you are really, truly alienating not even the audience, including the audience, but also members of your cast in such a way where there is no ability to move forward, you're doing yourself such a massive,
yeah.
massive.
I don't think, I
problem.
Think the only person she's done that with is Shannon, though, on the show. I don't know if there's anybody that would.
Jen?
I don't think so. I
really?
Think, yeah. I think Jen is really, I think she's savvier than people give her credit for, mm-hmm. and she's early in her run. I think that she is kind of an optimist of, as a person and like kind of a glass half full kind of person. And I think that she probably could be convinced to like have a conversation with Tamara and try to understand at least. Like she, I don't know, that I interviewed her this season. I got that from her. Like I don't think she wants to be good friends with Tamara, but I don't think that she also isn't really in the position to like, say I'm never engaging with Tamara ever again. Mm. She's been on for 2 seasons, you know, and she wants to keep the job because she's really good at it. So I don't think so. I really think that Shannon's the only person that could be said for personally.
I think the goal should not be, and I don't think either of them want this, is not repairing their friendship. I think it's just a way
coexisting.
100% coexisting. And also being like frenemies.
Yeah.
Like you can laugh, you know, if somebody's making a joke or whatever, you can look at each other yeah. and laugh, but you don't need to pretend that you have any interest in repairing this relationship because neither of you do.
Right. In another world, they could be like a Karen and Giselle kind of thing where it's like,
yes.
it doesn't get as deep,
yeah.
you know, where it's like they can fight over really things that are closer to the surface, at least. Mm-hmm. It's just gotten so deep this season that it's like, how do you claw back from that? Again, they're both such pros as housewives and they're such legends of the genre that it's like hopefully they know how to do that and they're willing to do that because that would be good for the show too. I think like this has been such a landmark season, I feel like, for the show, and I think one way that you follow it up is like, yeah, you continue some of this stuff, you continue following some of these storylines, but also like you have slightly lighter drama, you know,
yeah.
like otherwise it kind of becomes a slippery slope where you go like deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into like the depths of it. Mm-hmm. And like that gets to a place where people don't like watching the show. So I hope that they kind of swoop back up a little bit. You know what I mean? Like they're kind of in a valley in terms of what we're it's dark, deep stuff that we're really serious stuff that we're talking about.
Also with Tamara, obviously she has spoken a lot about, and understandably so, estrangement with the kids.
Yeah.
Some of the kids are estranged from Simon. Her daughter's estranged from herself, like getting into that. But you know what? The glimpse that we saw of Eddie being mad really lit a fire under my ass, because I was like, can we see more of this, please? Like, why aren't we getting into not now? This season is so much. Now it would just get swallowed up. But like next season, like, let's have a conversation about what's going on with Tamara and Eddie. Because I also find him, I don't know, just the way he was like, I'm not going to fuck with Ryan even a little bit. And Ryan's like, you don't want to hug? And the way that Eddie was like flat out, like, absolutely not. Yeah, totally. I was like, I want to see more of that energy.
That was interesting energy.
That was such interesting energy.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what I've been, you know, the thing with Vicky that happened with Tamara on Vicky's podcast, and then Tamara did the crying video.
Vicky said her daughter.
Well, she brought up the kids, right. And she was basically like, Tamara chose the show over the daughter. And then you realize, like, nobody's really said anything like that to Tamara on the show in a while, or like nobody takes it to her in that way, the way that she does to other people. And whoever I was talking to about that was like, well, yeah, nobody wants to be on her bad side, but it's like, if you're already on her bad side, if you're already like one of her targets, like, what do you have to lose? Mm-hmm. Why not go there? And I'm not encouraging that to like bring up the kids, because it's whatever, but like, it's
go
just
low.
It's just interesting. Like, if Tamara's going low, why is nobody else going low back at her? And I think that's, it's interesting, you know, it's, and I think that from the way she's behaving both on and off the show this season, she's opening her up. She's opening herself up to more of that for a subsequent season.
So I recorded a 37 part Satchel Spectacular for the AG Patreon, where I was like,
not
getting
37
into,
farts.
Oh my God. Honey. And then every time I was talking about a New York Potomac Satchel, I was like, yes. And that actually reminds me about Orange County. I was like, I have 18 other things to say, because I love recording Satchel Spectaculars. But thinking about the Vicky of it all, where do you see Vicky in the future of Orange County, if at all? Do you, because she's cameoed, she didn't even really do a cameo plus this season.
Right.
I think
she was like a one episode guest or two episode guest.
Right.
She went to the dinner, and then she went to the Traders thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Where would you like to see her, if at all? It could be off screen.
I weirdly don't feel strongly either way. And I don't
know. Not a bad feeling.
I like seeing her pop up, because she kind of, when you get small doses of her, she just kind of makes me laugh.
Yeah.
You know, because she cares so much and she's so passionate, because she knows, like, if I'm going to make two or three guest appearances, like, I'm going to make a splash, you know, like, she's going to come in passionate and hot. And I kind of like that, you know, and I think she's kind of good in doses like that. And I think that the show this season has proved they don't need her in a, you know, really pivotal, you know, way that influences the season. I think she's a good sounding board for Shannon when she really needs it. Like, when she really needs like a real ear.
Mm-hmm. When she's not emailing.
Right. Like, I think that, so I think she serves a purpose in that way, but I don't know if I need her as a full friend of or anything like that. But I also wouldn't be against that happening. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I don't really need her full time again. But yeah, that's sort of, I really don't feel super passionately about it. But I think that the show is in such a great place in terms of the casting. I don't think they should make any changes to the cast for next season.
I don't think that they should make any changes to the cast next season unless they want to bring back Vicky as a friend of. Because I actually think, let's give Shannon a minute to breathe and send out the attack dog.
Sure.
Like, Vicky knows Tamara.
Yeah, Vicky can get activated.
Vicky, 100% Vicky can get activated. Vicky can activate the fuck out of Tamara. Let's, the art of distraction, give Tamara a different chew toy to destroy. Like, let's let these two icons, titans of honestly going low and screaming at each other. Let's give them a chance to just self-exhaust.
Yeah, and Shannon can be in the corner watching it with her Belvedere soda. Absolutely. And
or Diet Coke. Anything could happen.
Probably both.
Yeah.
And, no, that could totally work, and she still wouldn't need to be full time. Like, as we know from Miami, she can be an Adriana, where it's like, she is there to instigate shit and get shit talked about and to be, you know, combative and whatever. But we don't need to see the home scenes. We don't need anything else from Vicky, I don't think, at this point. So I would support that game plan for a coming season. I would.
I also do genuinely love that, like, Vicky 100% wants to be back on the show. And so they like book her. They're like, you're going to go do the Traitors thing, whatever. And she won't, she just can't get off her phone. I'm just thinking to myself, like, Vicky, you're only here for a moment. Like, appreciate, but she is Victoria Gumbelson. Like, she you is. Can't take Coto Insurance out of Vicky G.
The OG of the OC.
She's the OG of, oh my God. And God bless her for that, for the gift she has brought to this world. Speaking of gifts brought to this world, this was such a delight.
Happy to do it.
Oh my God.
Happy to do it. You're such a delight.
Oh my God.
Everything's going to go great tomorrow.
Everything's going
to
go great.
I'm so happy to help you batch record.
Thank you.
You know, I as a podcaster myself, I understand the importance of that.
You know.
Yeah.
And it's tough. And it's also hard because Housewives can be incredibly time sensitive. Like, we've only done the first part of London. Like, I'm going to be, God only knows in what mood, physical state.
You're gonna think you're in London watching.
I will. If that.
I hope that you're that high on the.
If that
the
anesthesia meds. Does yeah. its job, I will be mid flight.
You're wearing that bucket hat, Sarah.
I am. Oh my God, which I fucking I love when Shannon does a costume.
I'm excited for the rest of this London trip. I think it's gonna be really good TV.
Think it's gonna be really good TV.
Yeah, and Alexis won't be there, which is just a plus. So
it is, but maybe we'll see her at home stewing, which I would not be against either.
In footage shot by John Jansen. On the cell phone. Or maybe his ring camera.
Maybe he'll be upstairs hiding in the bedroom because he's so much of a goddamn puss. I mean, anything is possible. But it does make me think, like, oh man, it's going to be just going to be a minute before I'm able to hop back on and record again. So I just want to thank the AGs again for their patience with that, because there's just some things that are entirely out of a person's control.
Listen, and shit happens. Life happens. Yeah. And again, you're getting the... You're getting this. You need it. We need this to happen. And we'll
scoop
be better after. You'll be better after.
I keep saying scoop it out with a melon baller. Just like take it all out. Whatever you need to do. Well, no, don't take it all out. But just like do whatever you need to do.
Take what you need to take out.
what you need to take out. And leave me the rest. And it'll all work out. Listen, you mentioned a recent episode with Abe. Can you tell the AGs a little bit about other recent episodes and what they can look forward to by, I was going to say tuning into the pod, but tuning in is more watching. By
listening. we're on YouTube, so you can find us. You can watch.
Oh,
you can watch episodes on YouTube.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so it usually, not always, it's usually an interview and like a discussion episode like this every week. Abe is on Friday. I just did a big listener mailbag episode. Who else? I had Evan Ross Katz on to talk about the Roni reboot of it all and just kind of be honest about what we're feeling about it. Wendy Osefo was on recently. Angie K was on recently. Trying to get some more housewives. There's a lot on, so you think they'd be available. So, it's Gabbing with Gib, Tuesdays and Fridays, wherever you hear podcasts, wherever you listen to this wonderful show.
And also, it can be a battlefield to book current housewives on. So, mazel, especially with Dr. Wendy and Angie K, because there are a couple bridges a person need to cross. So, that's a big deal.
And they're on the clip that I posted from the Angie K one on my Instagram.
Oh no.
Lisa Barlow commented, "This is not true, heart." and then Whitney commented,
"Oh my God."
I can't remember what she said. Should I pull it up really quickly?
Yeah. I also need to know which heart. Was it the red heart? I feel like Lisa
Barlow's.
I
think it was blue.
Wow.
Let's see.
The effort.
Hold on. Okay. Why are all these pop-ups happening on Instagram these days? Okay. This is not true. Deep blue heart.
Oh my God.
36 likes. Speak on it. Love me some Lisa B. What's the truth? Angie did the same thing to you with Monica. And then Whitney said, keep preaching facts, Andy. Angie, love you. And then Angie says, love you too. Wait, what did Angie say?
What was the
Angie didn't respond to Lisa. It was I asked her about the podcast thing and she said that it was already out there. Lisa already knew about it. Or Whitney already knew, but whatever. We don't rehash that. But
okay.
It was a clip from that. And Lisa said, that's not true. Heart.
Lisa Barlow is so good this.
She's really good at this. They're all really good at this. I really think that.
On Salt Lake?
Yeah. That's why I think it's the best. I think they all serve a purpose. They're all good. They're all confrontational. They're all... Yeah, that's another podcast for another time, I think.
But. It is. And I also could talk about Brittany for literal hours.
Oh my God, beyond.
I'm like,
you mean Leanne Locken mixed with Carrie Huber?
Oh my God. And someone posted and said she looks like every contestant on Dallas Cowboys Cheerleaders.
I'd like to make an announcement.
Gibson's raising his drink.
I'm newly single.
The way she says it in
it's
such
so
a
good.
She's attempting to be commanding, and then the follow-up is like, does he know? No, but she's still making I love her. I really do.
We love the delusion.
Yeah. There's a little bit of delusion. Yeah. Uh-huh. Listen, yeah. Where can AGs, did you tell the AGs where they can follow you on
social?
Gabbing
with Gib, wherever you get the podcast. Gib Sonoma on all social media. Yeah, that's it.
Love it. Yeah. And
thanks for having me back.
Oh my God, it's such a pleasure to have you. And speaking of stuff to have you joined the Andy's Girls Patreon? It's the number one way to support the pod. As mentioned, that supersized satchel spectacular featuring a lot of your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns about all things Potomac, Salt Lake, New York. What was the other one?
Potomac, Salt Lake, OC.
Oh, Orange County. Why do I keep...
It's hard to remember everything. There's a lot on. I think the ideal number would be 3, but that's just me.
I do love a trio. 4 is an awful lot to bear, but, you know, we make that sacrifice in life. So you can listen to those episodes now at patreon.com/AndySkrulls. Follow me on Instagram at Dame Galley. I'm sure when I'm able to, I'll be doing some posting on the IG stories, which I look forward to. And Gibson, thanks so much for coming over the cloth.
Always a pleasure.
All right, guys, thanks so much for listening to this episode, and we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.
Fall is in the air, and that cooler weather calls for an update in your skincare. Moisturizing is key to keeping wrinkles at bay. That's why we need a skincare routine that's easy, fast, and gives us results. Plus, what if your products had thousands of 5-star reviews? Were natural and affordable? Well, say hello to Dime Beauty. Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Not sure where to start? I highly recommend the Work System. It's everything you need in one powerful package. Take out the guesswork with a proven routine that includes a gentle yet effective cleanser, a super skin toner, 2 incredible serums, and 2 luxurious moisturizers. See what everyone is raving about. From serum sets to the always sold out retinol alternative TBT cream, you'll find your perfect skincare match. Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally 5 stars. Love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com. That's dimebeautyco.com.